I'm Jody F. Welcome to Homicidal Impulse. Tonight we're going to discuss a murder and a maybe murder that occurred in 1963 in Pennsylvania. But first, two caveats. I have no idea about the preferred pronunciation of the surname of the family involved. It's spelled K-E-I-M. Although the phonetic pronunciation would be Keim or Kame, the German pronunciation would be Keim, which I find more euphonious, so Keim it is going to be. Also, this is going to be a very short installment because there's very little information available about the Keims. However, ever since I read about their fate years ago, it's remained lodged in my brain, so I thought I'd share it. Plus, it's a perfect homicide for the holidays. Picture it. Christmas time in 1963 in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, which is in the southeastern part of the state, 40 miles from Philadelphia. 68-year-old widow Pearl Keim lived in the Penn Village neighborhood with her intellectually challenged son, Douglas. 42-year-old Douglas, known to all as Dougie, was a neighborhood character. He reportedly had the mental age of a 7-year-old child. Neighbors would later describe Dougie as being, quote, as friendly and gentle as a puppy. Perhaps that's a little condescending, but the quote is germane considering Dougie's ultimate fate. As I previously mentioned, Dougie was well known in the community. He could often be found at the local diner with the newspaper spread out in front of him. He didn't know how to read, but I suppose it made him feel more adult. Dougie's all-time favorite thing was the fire department. He loved to hang around at the station house soaking up the ambiance. It was a bit of an idea fix, as the French would say. Adoration, perhaps bordering upon obsession. His mother, Pearl, obviously was well aware of her son's love of all things fire departmental. She kept his obsession in mind when purchasing his Christmas gift, a new toy fire engine. On December 24th, Christmas Eve, Pearl showed off the toy fire engine to two neighborhood children, Dougie's friends, enthusing about how much Dougie would enjoy his gift. Then Christmas came and went, and nobody saw the Keims. The lights were on in their home, though. The lights had been burning since Christmas Eve. One day, 2 days, finally, 5 days later, on January 29th, the Keim's neighbors became worried enough to contact law enforcement, who sent an officer over for a wellness check. What he found would stun the community. At 2 p.m. on December 29th, patrolman Richard Placido entered the Keim home at 452 West King Street. He found, according to the Pottstown Mercury, a scene of uncontrolled violence, the stark and bloody aftermath of a fierce battle. Pearl Keim's body was found in her second-floor bedroom. She had been beaten about the head and stabbed in the neck so repeatedly and vigorously the knife handle snapped off. The blade remained lodged in her throat. Dougie Keim's body was found downstairs in the living room. He, too, had been beaten about the head and, never heard this before, he had a metal fireplace poker wrapped around his neck. An autopsy will later determine Dougie died of strangulation. Investigators find two things laying beside Dougie's body. The handle of the knife used to stab his mother and the fire truck she bought him for Christmas. The toy had been stripped of its wrapping paper, but was still encased in cellophane packaging. All of the other gifts in the home were still wrapped, so investigators presume the Keims died on Christmas Eve. When patrolman Placido arrived at the Keim home, he found all the doors locked, but they were the type that could be locked upon leaving without a key. One window had been left open. The discovery of the Keim's bodies created a rift in the department. Were the Keim's deaths a murder-suicide or a double homicide? Investigators in the Pottstown Police Department were never able to reach a consensus. No one who knew Dougie Kime believed he could kill anyone, much less his beloved mother. As I personally see it, there are two major questions in the Kime case. One, did Dougie love fire trucks enough to kill his mother, who he also loved? And two, would Dougie Kime, who was described as being a very slight man, have the physical strength necessary to wrap a metal fireplace poker around his own neck? His head wounds could have happened during a death brawl with his mother, but that metal bar around his neck is a lot harder to explain. Unfortunately, neither question is easy to answer. A member of the police department was able to wrap a similar metal fireplace poker around his own neck. He demonstrated this skill at a press conference designed to quell community suspicions that a double murderer was running amok in their community. Of course, just because a young and hale police officer can manage to wrap a metal fireplace poker around his neck doesn't mean a petite 42-year-old intellectually disadvantaged man can or did do likewise. For Montgomery County District Attorney Richard Lowe, however, the demonstration at the press conference was sufficient. He deemed the Kime case a murder-suicide and closed the investigation, even though many in law enforcement still believe the deaths to be a double homicide. In my personal quest for truth, I consulted a research paper entitled Aggression in Persons with Intellectual Disabilities by William Gardner. According to this study, violent behaviors in individuals with intellectual disability are rare and are usually marked by the presence of recurring and severe behavioral concerns involving aggression. Dougie Kime, of course, had no history of aggression. Deeming such occurrences rare, however, doesn't mean Dougie couldn't have killed his mother. It just means that such a crime wasn't statistically favored. Speaking of things that aren't statistically favored, according to an FBI study of parricide, that's the killing of one's parents, most cases of matricide are committed by young men between the ages of 15 and 25. So Dougie was older than the typical mother killer? But again, that only helps us assess probabilities. It's not dispositive of Dougie's innocence or guilt. Sadly, 57 years later, it's unlikely we'll ever know exactly what happened in the Kime house that Christmas Eve so long ago. Neither option is attractive. Either Pearl Kime was murdered by the child she lovingly raised, or a sly killer perpetrated a double homicide and escaped detection. I hate to think Dougie Kime was falsely accused, an innocent naive who was murdered and then slandered after death. Not much holiday cheer in that, right? Okay, so what can we learn from the murders of Pearl Kime and the maybe murder of her son Dougie? Without really knowing what happened, it's impossible to say for sure. If Dougie killed his mother Pearl, the takeaway is depressing. The child you raise might one day snap and murder you to get at a toy fire truck a few hours early. If the Kimes were slain in a double homicide, the takeaway is also depressing. Some crimes go undetected and unpunished. Regardless of how the Kimes died, however, there is one indisputable lesson, which is this. Terrible things can happen anytime, even on Christmas Eve. Homicide doesn't take a holiday. Vigilance is warranted 365 days a year. If you hear a weird noise in your home over the holidays, don't just assume it's Santa coming down the chimney. Better get up and investigate, or this might be your final Christmas. This has been Homicidal Impulse with Jody F. Don't forget to lock your doors, even on Christmas Eve.